Tonight we're going to be talking about something that I'm afraid affects every single one of us, and that is covetousness. Paul calls covetousness idolatry.
Yeah.
If I were to ask you to name the top five worst sins, it's likely that coveting probably wouldn't even be in that list. You'd start with murder and rape,
right,
all kinds of things. In fact, covetousness might not even make it on the top 10. Yet it has caused more problems than any other sin. To covet means to desire something eagerly. Believe it or not, coveting can be good or bad. Paul admonishes us to covet the best gift.
That's right.
It simply means to desire something strongly or eagerly. Okay? Most of the time, it's used in the negative form in God's Word because of our sin nature. The Bible says, thou shalt not covet or to desire inordinately. To desire strongly that which is unlawful to have. Wanting something or someone that's not yours or should be. Coveting can be wishing that you had the same intellectual ability as that person, the same gift as that person, the same ability as that person, the beautiful hair that they have, the house that they have, the position that they have. In Exodus chapter 20, in verse 17, the Bible says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Let's pray. Father, I pray that tonight you would speak through me the words that you want your people to hear. And Lord, it's important and vital that they receive the message from you and not me. So, Father, I pray that you would guide my words and help me to relay your message to your people accurately.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I pray that you would help us to see our sin for what it is. Lord, help us to repent and draw closer to you. I thank you for that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Because this is the last of the Ten Commandments, many people assume it's the least important. But in order to break the first nine, you have to break this one. Coveting is the root of all evil, all sin. And I know in 1 Timothy 6:10, the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. What is the love of money? It's coveting. What was the first sin in the Bible that was committed? It wasn't stealing the fruit or eating the fruit. In fact, if you would, turn to Genesis chapter 3. We're close to it. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to read that. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, a tree to be desired. Mm-hmm. Is that coveting?
Yes.
I think it is. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So eating the fruit was wrong. That was a sin. God said, don't do it. But before she could commit that sin, she had to covet first. By the way, the first chronological sin was actually committed by Lucifer, not Eve. And he did the same thing. He coveted God's position, his power, his glory. He coveted it and then revolted. Turn to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. In verse 19, here is the account where Achan blew it. If you look in verse 19, it says, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give. By the way, at this point, they had already went to battle against Ai, lost the battle. 36 men died. 36 women were husbandless.
Yeah.
No telling how many children were fatherless because Achan sinned, right?
Right.
They took the lot. They cast lots to determine who was guilty, and it fell on Achan, and then he stands here before Joshua here in verse 19. Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. And tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. Mm. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I
coveted
them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. First thing he did was he coveted them. If he had repented right then, he wouldn't have stole them. They wouldn't have had so many men die in the battle. He wouldn't have been stoned. His family wouldn't have been stoned. All of that happened because of this root sin called covetousness.
Right.
Satan was cast out of heaven and has been our greatest enemy of all time, right?
Yeah.
And has done more to destroy God's creation, and it all began with covetousness. Is covetousness a bad sin?
Yes, amen.
I think it is. Do you covet?
Mm-hmm.
Covetousness is basically dissatisfaction or discontentment. You're dissatisfied with yourself? You wish you looked like that person?
Mm-hmm.
Are you dissatisfied with what you have or maybe what you don't have? Discontent? If nothing changed in your life from now on, the circumstances that you are now involved in, the thing you are desiring, the raise, the promotion, the different car, the different house, whatever. If nothing changed, the health situation that you're involved in right now. If nothing changed from now on, could you be satisfied with it? When we're dissatisfied with what we have, we're really dissatisfied with God. As though He could have done a better job. If you look at your circumstances, and especially the struggle that you may have with some need or desire, and you deduct from your circumstances your opinion of God, you probably won't win the battle against covetousness. Covetousness covers a broad spectrum of things.
Yeah.
So how do I overcome this problem? By the way, I struggle with this. I'd like to stand here and say, I've conquered it, but I can't. Can we get the victory over this? I believe we can.
Yes, amen.
C.H. Spurgeon said that in all of his years of preaching and hearing people confess their sins, never one time heard anyone confess the sin of covetousness. Here's why. Because we can sit in church with a shirt and tie on or a dress and sing, and right in the middle of all of that be in the depth of coveting.
Mm. Right.
Some sins are out in the open. You blow up and you say some things you shouldn't say. Everybody knows you messed up right there. You can steal something and keep that even concealed for a period of time until it comes back to haunt you. Then you get caught. All kinds of things are kind of out in the open, but covetousness can happen all day long in our mind. That's where it happens.
Yeah.
In our mind. And because of that, we think we keep it hidden. But God knows what's in our minds.
Amen.
He sees the things that are in our minds. How do I overcome this awful sin of covetousness? I don't know. You might be able to come up with a better plan, but this is what I've conjured up. Number one, call it what it is. It's sin. To desire something. First of all, it's not wrong to desire things that you need. For instance, when I get hungry, I desire food. That's not coveting. Okay? When the power goes out, I desire for the power to come back on. There's nothing wrong with that. There's things that we desire. It's okay to desire things. But when we have an inordinate desire for something that we shouldn't have, or for something that God has chosen not to give us yet, including healing, and we get wrapped up in that so much that it causes a dissatisfaction and a discontentment, it becomes coveting. Call it what it is. That's step one. Recognize it as a highly dangerous sin that will destroy your joy, your peace, and even your testimony. Number two, confess it to God and ask Him for forgiveness and repent. Number three, resolve to become thankful for what you already have.
Amen.
God's already met your need. And I know we all are struggling in one way or another. And we feel that we have a need for something. And maybe we do. We even feel like We need it now, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like Mary and Martha needed Jesus now to heal their brother. And he didn't come. And so their brother died. Was Jesus late? No, he wasn't late. He arrived right on time to do exactly what God wanted him to do at the exact time that he wanted him to do it. So we all have needs. And some of the needs and some of the circumstances that we are dealing with right now cause us pain. Cause us problems. Can God meet that need? Is a big question, isn't it? The answer is yes. Will He meet that need? Yes. When will He meet that need? At the exact right time. That's the third step. Resolve to become thankful for what you already have, because God has already met our needs. And He'll meet our next one in just the right time.
Amen.
Accept your current circumstances as God's plan for you. Be thankful even for the problems. Remember Paul and Silas saying in the prison with cuts across their back. They were in pain. They were in prison. They didn't have the New Testament like we do. They didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know there was fixing to be a earthquake that shook the doors open.
No.
They didn't know all that. It's easy for us to look at the story and say, well, of course they sang. They were going to be delivered. They didn't know that. They didn't know if it was going to get worse. They didn't know if maybe this was the end. We may get martyred. You and I don't know what's going to happen in our circumstances either, right?
Right.
Be thankful even for the problems. Even Jesus prayed, God, remove this cup. Nevertheless, Thy will be done. It's okay to ask God for healing. It's okay to ask God to deliver you from that problem. That's all right. But accept that problem as God's plan if He chooses to let it continue.
Yeah.
Because He can stop it.
Yeah, amen.
He can put a stop to it. Then He walked joyfully, the Bible says, to the cross. That's hard for me to understand. I don't know about you. But to know that He was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, drops of blood coming out of Him, because He was in so much anguish of what He knew He was fixing to have to endure, and even prayed and asked God for plan B. And when he knew that God says, this is it, this is what you're going to do, He said, yeah, okay, there cannot be anything better for me but this.
That's right.
Because this is God's plan. He went forward joyfully.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So step four is accept your current circumstances as God's plan for you. Don't covet something different when it's evident that God has orchestrated these things in your life. Number five, give away what you have. Turn to Mark. I want you to see what Jesus said. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. The Bible says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." Oh, but Brother Bruce, that doesn't really cover me, because I don't have great possessions. Compare what you have with someone in Haiti or the Philippines,
yeah,
or some other country where a day's wages is about a dollar and a half. Yet the price of food costs the same as what it cost us. And see the house they live in and the clothes they wear and the shoes that they put on their feet. And then you tell me that you're poor. We are wealthy people.
Yes, right.
Jesus told this fella, he says, "You got a problem, and it's covetousness." Mm-hmm. And he proved it, because he said, "Go and sell what you got and give it to the poor." And the man to the left said, "I ain't going to do that. I worked hard for what I do." And he wouldn't. He wouldn't repent. That's why he couldn't make it into heaven. Not because he couldn't keep the Ten Commandments. No one can keep the Ten Commandments. He couldn't make it to heaven because he wouldn't repent of covetousness. Give away what you have. Now, I'm not saying that you need to give away your car and your house and start living on the streets. Although the same God that gave you that house could give you another one. I do believe that.
Yeah, amen.
But what I am saying is that we need to become generous. Sacrificially generous. I'm talking about giving away the money that you got saved up for that payment. Maybe. Or part of it. Well, Brother Bruce, how am I gonna make that payment? God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I don't know if you've ever recognized how that God can pour in some money into your pocket, but I've seen it happen.
Yes, amen.
Countless times. Miraculous occasions. We were doing some homework in Nehemiah's children the other day, and one of the fellas went back over the records, and he said, "I don't know how this has happened, but since we've been a group that's been trying to help Brother Casimir, we've sent over $550,000 to him." Where'd that come from? It sure didn't come out of our pockets.
Right.
God does own the cattle on 1,000 hills, and I can promise you he can meet your need.
Amen.
Especially if God puts somebody in your path that has a need, and you take what you thought you needed for that, and you gave it to them. God wasn't looking the other way when you did that. He saw that, and he can replace that. In fact, the Bible says that he will. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give unto your bosom. You cannot defeat covetousness without being generous.
Amen.
Without being thankful for what God's already blessed you with. I believe this is not a one-time war, but a daily battle.
Amen.
Anytime that you or I begin to covet, gosh, I wish I had that truck. I like that truck. If I had that truck, I could do this, that, or the other. Or you might be saying, I wish I had her hair. I would feel so beautiful if I had her hair. I wish I had his intellect. If I had his intellect, his memory. I am a little bit jealous of people that have a good memory. Because I can't even remember your names sometimes. But we think about those things, and as soon as we do, normally the Holy Spirit's going to prick our heart and say, wait a minute. At least you have hair. At least you have some intellect. Be thankful for the intellect God gave you. That's the exact intellect He wanted you to have. But I got these problems, and they don't have these problems. You've got those problems because God wanted you to have those problems. God's trying to grow you in some way. When we get mad about it and begin wishing that we could be like that person who doesn't have these problems, we're coveting.
Yeah.
Remember, that's dissatisfaction with God, as though He could do a better job. You got to be generous. This idea that I worked hard for what I got, they need to work too. That mentality is fueled by pride and even covetousness. So I'm going to run over these five things real quick and in short. Number one, call it what it is, sin. Number two, confess it to God and ask for forgiveness and then repent. Number three, resolve to become thankful for what you already have. Number four, accept your current circumstances as God's plan for you. And then number five, give away what you've got. If you didn't need it, then it may not come back. If you do need it, God will replace it. This thing of covetousness is an issue. And I'm afraid it's got a lot of us in a bind.
Yeah.
In our relationship with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I do thank You for opening my eyes to my sin of covetousness. And Lord, I pray that You would please forgive me. Lord, help me to be thankful for what You've already blessed me with. Help me to be generous. Lord, I pray that You would forgive us in this area of being covetous. And Lord, help us to shine a brighter light for You. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. Turn to 463.